Pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. Nathan, I'm back to drinking scotch. I assume you're still drinking gin.
Yes, it's just too good to say no to.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys have to make sure that you keep gin bottles in high supply at your household so that your wife can prime one space marine model at a time on them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you know, now that she's an internet celebrity, if you will.
Is she like a step above J-List?
No, I mean, I personally think that she is, she has surpassed the J-List. definitely into the I-List, but I mean, she kind of refutes it. I think she just wants to stay true to her roots is all, you know. You know how it is, you know, I'm just Jenny from the block and all that.
I just want to let you keep talking because this is quite ridiculous. No, keep saying things, Nathan. Keep saying funny things.
What? I'm great. Now I'm on the spot. You know how what did we cover last week with our naked hangout?
Mm-hmm.
Where I do want to thank Mr. Malarian for that, even though I don't... We drank so much that evening that yesterday when Terry said, oh, hey, what was last week's episode about? We were so busy, I didn't get a chance to listen to it. I honestly had no idea.
It took me a while to remember as well. I had to go back to the website. I was just like, how about I go check this website and see what we did? Oh, right. Farsight.
Yeah. That was the thing, because I was just like, she's like, wait, you didn't talk about anything? I'm like, no, we talked about it. And it felt like a really good episode. I just don't remember what that might have been. Is that so wrong?
Yes, it's wrong. But that's why it's so right. So I'm drinking McClellan's. I don't know what year it is because it doesn't say. It's okay. I got it as a gift for helping fix a friend's computer. So they were like, I'll bring you a bottle of scotch. I'm like, well, I don't see how I could say no to that. Yeah. They came over. I just turned some things off in MS Config. I was like, well, my work here is done. I think we're complete. All right. So, yes, the Hangout was well received, as you said earlier this week, as you and I were chatting back and forth. It was a lot of fun. People seemed to enjoy the idea. Maybe not necessarily enjoy the fact that our shirts were off, but enjoy the Hangout as a whole. And I think everybody now has a new appreciation for just how much we drink during these podcasts.
Because they could actually witness us just drinking and drinking and drinking. You know what's funny is I think like it was like 2 days ago. I just, you know, I clicked the link or whatever. And, it, you know, the timestamp that was there was up to like 22 minutes in. I'm like, holy shit, I'm really drunk then. And I go back to the beginning and I was just like, holy shit, I'm really drunk then. How did I make it to the end? Because after that, I was just, you know, I did the typical drunk thing where I ordered a pizza and like drunkenly walked over to it. Like, you know, so this is like, when did we finish? Like 1 a.m?
It was about 1 a.m, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like 1 a.m. I'm just like, fuck, I am hungry, you know, and I need to drink water. I'll be hungover. So it's like, ordered a pizza. The wife embarrassingly drove me. Because I'm like, no, it's fine. I'll just walk. She's like, just shut up.
Just shut your fucking mouth, all right? All right, so let's talk about what we did this week in hobby. For me, it was playing more Star Trek Attack Wing and mm-hmm. then more Star Trek Attack Wing and then just a little bit more Star Trek Attack Wing. I haven't really done much else other than like play video games and that. But, you know, like it's fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm definitely seeing the faults at this point, but we'll talk about that more when we talk about when we actually do a review of Star Trek Attack Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan and I will have a game and... I don't know. I'll probably win.
You do realize, though, that we are literally going to be playing the same fleet of 3 Cardassian ships with 1 Breen ship against each other, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
But I have experience in maneuvering Cardassian ships because they are probably the most unmaneuverable ships in the game.
Oh, I was going to say, you also have experience sucking cock, yet somehow your blowjobs are always sloppy. I mean, I just I don't see how it's helping.
First off, some guys like it sloppy. Second off, it's art, okay? Everybody has their own style. I'm not just going to go like the typical fondle lick, you know, the play with a little piece of skin at the tip. You know what I'm talking about. I don't do that because I'm me. I'm always going to be me. So what have you been up to, Nathan?
Sorry, other than leaning over to mute the wife's computer as her Facebook notifications go off.
Again.
You know, it's funny because today, just the fact that, you know, it's fucking amateur hour over here. You know, I just literally walked into the door and, like, called you. So I'm just, like, all of the usual, like, turn my phone ringer off, which I only did after my wife's computer.
Oh damn it. I was just about to text you. Is your phone muted?
In your face.
Damn it. Well, and as soon as I pulled my phone out, you had that like half a second pause of like, I was like, he's got his phone out right now, doesn't he? Damn it.
Too yep. late. Beat you to it. So this week in hobby, I came in dead last in another game of Small World because mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. consistency is number one. Like when I get set out to play fun board games, I just want a consistent performance, and I find that dead last is something that I am able to, without trying, attain every single time. So
there you go.
Why not?
I was gonna say losing at Small World is what you tend to do best.
You know, you're not
try even as you might.
Because yeah, I think of the like 10 or 20 games that I've played, I would say that one or two of them I've won. One or two of them I've come in not dead last, and the rest it's just like dead last.
Mm-hmm.
But no, other than that, I've just been painting up some Strange Aeons and stuff. Kyle and Uncle Mike are planning a Strange Aeons tournament sometime around Halloweenish, because mm-hmm. you know it's totally fucking fitting. Which I'd like to get some games in and play. So I've
yes, indeed.
I've got one of my guys painted up. I just found the model that I'm going to use for my character, which is the Agent Lovecraft
mm-hmm.
model of him holding a book, because I've decided that my character is going to be my read languages wizard type guy.
Oh, interesting. That's
It's an interesting play specifically because the spells, the way the spells work in Strange Aeons is that you, A, don't know any in your first game, and B, when they're all one use only. It's like
yes. Uncle Mike,
you know, was forecasting Games Workshop's future with that. So when you cast the spell, you do forget it, but you always have the chance after every mission to potentially learn a new spell. in the short term, I feel like it is going to be kind of a bad decision, where I'm mm-hmm. always going to be looking at it going like, God damn it, I wish I had like a cavalry saber on this guy or something. But I feel like once I've built up a repertoire of spells that I'm not going to use, because I think in my first 5 or 6 or 7 games, I'm just going to learn spells and not fuck around with actually using them up. Once he starts getting some of like the evil spell list, you know, the evil incantations and shit like that, that's when I think that he is going to really pay dividends for me. So it's a risk building my initial threshold list as a long game approach.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it works out, especially at Uncle Mike's event. But yeah, so like I said, that's what I've been doing, which is why when you said, hey, you know, you should paint your Star Trek ships, I'm like, but I'm painting Strange Aeons and having a lot of fun with it, so.
Yeah, hey, fair enough. All right, so model of the week. We're not really going to talk model of the week because everything is going to be, what?
Weekly listener poll.
Well, it's I know. Like, I'm not going to
make so much gin that we forget our shit.
No, I was going to do it. It's up on my page. I was just saying, yeah, why don't you just let me drive? Okay, like normal.
Okay.
There you go. All right, I'm going to text you something awful.
Is it another dick pic?
We're going to get to model of the week later when we get to the model that we like most this week. You know it's another dick pic. I don't have to
many of those that I can keep hiding from my wife.
I have to keep that album updated.
Just keep pushing it to the top. You know, that's all you
Jesus
got.
Christ. Weekly listener poll. Let's just get the weekly listener poll going. The weekly listener poll from this last week is, which army would you most want to see a supplement from Games Workshop for? All right, so I listed a bunch of stuff here. I added some stuff after the fact. We had a whole bunch of people voting, and Death Watch wins, even though some people may be looking at the weekly listener poll going, but Lang, didn't White Scars win? No, that's because somebody was spamming the votes.
Right.
And, oh, we can. Oh, look, come on. 55 votes for White Scars.
Listen, Lang, just because White Scars received more votes than we have ever had cast in a weekly listener poll ever, does not mean that someone was gaming the system.
Well, that was one of the things, too, is because I can also go into, like, our website stats and see that, like, okay, so the average page views per person in this on this day, on average, is about 3 to 4 page views per person. So for that day where they surged ahead, the average page views per person was somewhere around 16. So for the amount of people to come to the website, for one person to skew that voting, that page views that high to go from 3 to 13, yeah, somebody was spamming White Scars. We have to assume somebody loves themselves some White Scars. So I'm going to go ahead and call Death Watch the winner. And you know what? That was my vote as well. I would really love to see a Death Watch Codex. But hey, here's some votes as well. Vestroians was put in there. Connor said, not to mention the giant robots and other cool stuff we might see if they explore the fact that Vestroia is basically half a Forge world. So a good opportunity to see some extra Tech Priest models. Dare we hope Skitari Tech Guard models. Also, while we're at it, rules for Carapace armored mobs of infantry, no vet spam, so on and so forth. I mean, obviously Connor plays Vestroians. I've played against him before. You know, it's a gorgeous army. They're a lot of fun. They've got a lot of flavor. I think it's possible that we would see Vestroians when Imperial Guard comes out. But to be honest with you, I just don't think they're fleshed out near enough to need their own book.
Well, and that's the thing is thus far with Vestroians, they were some really nice models, admittedly, for the Fall of Medusa 5 campaign. Not to be mistaken with the Iron Hands world of Medusa 5. Yep. It's a different Medusa 5 because when GW came up with the name, they forgot that it was a chapter's homeworld. Mm-hmm. And you know, and rather than change it, I mean, it's already gone to print. So, I mean, you can't right. do it. But there's never really been any special rules for Vestroians. They did come up with some interesting fluff for them to go along, you know, hand in hand with those really nice models. But it's really kind of a limited range. I personally actually voted for Catachans on this. Only because while the really, really old circa early third edition Catachan plastic models are pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. I really like the Catachan Heavy Weapons Squad as well as the Catachan Command Squad. Games Workshop right. has done a lot of work on maintaining the Catachan line side by side with the Cadian line. And personally, I think that Catachans are divergent enough to kind of warrant their own yeah. special rules. And I really feel that, unlike a lot of Marine chapters, you know, or even the Farsight Enclave, which we talked about last week. And boy, did that take me a while to remember. you know, those are all very, very close, where it's just like, oh, it's whatever. But I find that with Imperial Guard worlds and armies and fluff and all of these things, there's so much room to have really divergent play styles, you mm-hmm. know, because realistically, right now, what is the difference between a Catachan who's wearing a fucking wife beater and a Cadian wearing Carapace armor? Absolutely fucking nothing. Mm. I would love to see a more, you know, ambushy stealth style, because realistically, the old rules for Catachans had them play a lot like the Tanith First and Only
right.
do in all of the fluff, because it was all about their fucking jungle guerrilla warfighters. So I would like to see something that can actually bring that flavor in. And if they do that, I'd love them to just ride the Imperial Guard teat hard, because could you imagine an awesome Steel Legion one? God forbid a Tanith one with models or Valhallans or Talarn, or, you know, like, sky's the limit with Imperial Guard. And we see right. that in the fluff. You know, you see that all over the place.
Well, and it's like that with Space Marines, right? I mean, the sky is the limit. And, you know, the whole idea of go ahead and make your own chapter, go ahead and make your own legion, you know. These are the types of things that we've seen for Imperial Guard in the past. I think what we're going to see with Imperial Guard is going to be similar to what we're seeing with Space Marines. They're going to give you some army-wide special rules or special characters. That's basically what you're going to be working with for, like, the main core books. You know, I thought of putting like Mordian or like Praetorians or something like that in there, but really, like, those, there's really nothing to them. Like, there's not a whole lot of fluff. It's just kind of like, yeah, these guys like to wear suits when they go out and fight. You know, whatever. It's
and
just,
these guys are literally the 19th century
yeah, exactly.
British soldiers.
Bitches be looking dapper.
Red.
That's... Right. You know, so I don't think we're going to see supplements for those types of things. Especially when it came to a lot of these Space Marine chapters, like people were saying, White Scars and stuff like that. Yeah, you know what? I think it would be kind of cool to see, you know, a White Scars or Imperial Fists or something like that. But, you know, considering the fact that we're seeing limited edition release codexes for White Scars and Imperial Fists, you know, we're not going to be seeing a supplement for them.
Or and, it's not anytime soon.
Yeah, and there was one guy who like said White Scars with capitals, and that was Chris Carlson. And so I'm going to assume that he was the one who spammed the voting. So we may never take you seriously again. But anyways, that is the weekly listener poll for this week. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out and voting. You can vote on our this week's weekly listener poll. We will have a question for you at the end of the show if we remember, as usual. And you can vote on that at jadedgamercast.com. All right, so let's get on to the main topic for today's show, which is the Space Marine release. The models have been released on the Games Workshop website. We've got 360 views. Nathan and I are going to be breaking down the releases, talking about what we like, what we don't like. Let's dive right into this shit. Let's talk about the limited edition codexes.
Okay.
All right, so obviously we've got your Ultramarines, Imperial Fists, Salamanders, White Scars, Iron Hands, and Raven Guard.
And then successors.
And
which
successors.
I thought was interesting.
Well, I think it's fun. Like, I think the fact that they're saying, you know what, here's the limited edition codex for, you know, people who are not playing one of these particular things but still loves the fuck out of their Space Marines that are like orange and green or some shit.
I just like how they put a Crimson Fist on it and they're like, no, 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 yeah. It's successors.
Exactly. Well, and again, like Crimson Fist, that's a great one to have as a successor chapter. You know?
Well, especially because. You know, unless they cut him, Pedro Cantor is the chapter master of the Crimson Fists. He was a special character available mm-hmm. in the old Space Marine Codex. He has a model. So let's assume that he's going to be in this version. So, yeah, I mean, I thought it was a nice touch. I actually thought initially that they would have gone with a Black Templar. But I guess if you have all Black Marine with red trim and the all Black Marine with white trim, why take the all Black Marine with a white shoulder pad with black trim? You know,
yeah,
so
yeah, exactly. I'm not surprised that they didn't go with Black Templars. It's mm-hmm. kind of interesting that they've slowly been moving away from a lot of like really heavy Black Templar focus. I think they're just going to sit with what they have for the Black Templars. We're not going to see anything new for a long, long time.
Yeah, absolutely. This is
and rightfully so.
Okay, this is the first time that I can remember where Games Workshop legitimately just dropped a codex. Okay. The only other time before that you can say is Squats, when they literally obliterated the race from the landscape of the game. But I find that this is different because there are rules for Black Templars here.
Yeah.
It's basically Games Workshop doing the first ever 180 on their rules, saying, you know what? We fucked up. You know, this army never should have had its own codex. We've taken it away. And I find that idea really, really interesting because, mm-hmm. again, it opens the door. You know, one can only hope that Blood Angels will be the next army to get folded in because there's really nothing divergent about Blood Angels.
No, it's not going to happen. Since they, you know, with Space Wolves, Blood Angels.
But again, like, see, again, like, I've had this conversation with a lot of people and.
You haven't had this conversation with me.
I know. You can make the argument that Space Wolves are a little too divergent to really just kind of streamline them, put them in the same book, because you've got scouts in power armor, their scouts are veterans, you got Wolfguard doing their own thing, no teleport, you know, like, there's enough...
Cyber Wolves
riding
Cyber Wolves.
You know, so Space Wolves themselves have so much weird shit going on that you're just like, you know what, you can't really wrap this up into a whole codex. Same thing with Grey Knights. When your typical Grey Knight comes stock standard with a Nemesis Force weapon and a Storm Bolter, shit just goes downhill from there, especially when you try to streamline.
There's no making it a unit choice. There's no making it an upgrade.
Exactly.
It has to be its own book.
You know, but then when you look at both Dark Angels and Blood Angels, there's really nothing to them.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Dark Angels, they're different enough. You know, like They've got the Raven Wing, they've got their Deathwing Terminators and stuff like that. They've got their own story in the First Legion and so on and so forth. I think that they definitely have enough for their own codex, and we saw it because they already have their own codex, and there was more than enough in there to fill a codex.
Well, but I mean, how much in there is not also going to be verbatim fucking points across into the Space Marine Codex? And I think that's more my point. I think
they changed them enough that it's fine.
I agree with you in that Dark Angels have a lot of substance. I think that in terms of background fluff, and wow, is that a heavy pour? I had like two fucking splashes of ginger ale.
All I know is that I could hear your soda fizzing. Your ginger ale was fizzing, and then I heard bloop, bloop, and then it just stopped fizzing. So I was like, wow, that diluted a lot if it's all of a sudden just killed the carbonation outright.
Yeah.
Get so to drinking. But okay, here's the thing.
No, but anyway, as I was saying, Dark Angels, from a fluff perspective, I think are one of the most interesting ones. Like, there's so many things that you can talk about, how they're the... Only the Chaos Legions ever change their color scheme. Dark Angels change their color scheme. They always hunt, quote-unquote, the Fallen. I mean, again, I think the Dark Angels, from a purely fluff perspective, are one of the best founding legions, bar none. It's the most interesting story. But from a straight-up rules perspective, let's look at it. We get rid of their shitty-ass fucking flyer. Mm-hmm. And... You know, the
church with wings.
The church with wings. Then you've got the silly land speeder variant. Okay, you can wrap the land speeder variant into the codex, bring in the Raven Knight bullshit, which could also be a White Scars unit, because look, dedicated bike guys that are crazy. You got shitty Terminator unit that no one takes, so you phase them out and literally no one notices. And suddenly Bob's your uncle. They could fit into Codex Space Marines.
I'm not saying that they couldn't fit in there.
But the whole
line of this conversation that you're getting at, though, is that you're hoping that Blood Angels don't get rolled into. And I'm just saying they're going to get their own Codex. We know that for a fact. Because otherwise they would have rules in the Space Marine Codex.
Well, but I mean, that's why I'm saying the next book. I really think that the Blood Angels
and Dark Angels... The next book?
No, absolutely. Well, I mean, come on. It's not like they're going to roll Space Marines into the Blood Angels book or the Space Wolves book. My whole line on this was that Games Workshop has never gone backsies on a codex before. This is new territory for them. So I can see why they would be very reluctant to do so, especially with something like Blood Angels, because they did come out in 5th edition, which was the era of let's fetishize the shit out of everything and release a model kit for it. Because, I mean, rolling Blood Angels in becomes a lot more difficult because they have Sanguinary Guard, because they have ball Predators. They have Furioso Dreads that have different weapons configurations. They've got Death Company. All of that didn't used to exist. All of it exists now. So, again, I find that to be a harder sell. And again, Dark Angels got the same treatment where they got a whole lot of bullshit, like unnecessary bullshit added in with the Terminator variant and the bike variant, as well as the flyer and the Landspeeder variant. So again, being a new book where Games Workshop is all about inventing new units, it makes it very, very hard. At this point, I'm wishlisting.
Yeah, clearly.
God,
clearly, because I disagree wholeheartedly on this.
Oh, I know. Like I said, I was surprised that they got rid of Black Templars instead of relegating them to, like, Sisters of Battle, where it'd just be like, well, after, like, 8 years, we decided to give them a White Dwarf Codex. Oh, is that available anywhere? Fuck you.
Well, here's the thing. You know, for the most part, I think, you know, you touched on one of the things that I think is going to help us move forward in terms of what we're doing here. And actually, let's talk about the fact that a lot of these releases, you know, because we're talking Vanilla Marines... It's super refreshing because there's no fetish anywhere. Everything is just flat out Marines, nice looking models for the most part, maybe not nicely designed or conceptually. Yeah.
Can I add in one last thing on the limited edition?
Oh my God, I would love it if you would. Do it!
Is it just me, or is the generic Ultramarine on, like, the Ultramarine on the cover of the generic codex much cooler than the one on the limited edition codex? Like, I really feel like it should be swapped.
I think, you know, obviously the guy who did the artwork for all the limited edition codexes isn't the guy who did the artwork for the... Oh,
clearly not.
I mean, very clearly. I don't particularly like the cover of the regular Space Marine Codex. I like the limited editions better.
I do like how understated the limited editions are, because I know that that Codex covers, Games Workshop always tries to, for some reason, put like a battle scene on it where you've got a lot of really busy backgrounds. But even then, you could put the Marine, that Ultramarine who's like reloading his bolter, in the front of that busy-ass background, isolating the Ultramarine Standard Bearer with the Power Fist on a clear background, and I just personally think that that would be much cooler. Like, if you're an Ultramarines fanatic and you're picking up a limited edition codex, I can't help but feel that you're just a little disappointed. Unlike all the other ones, where the Salamander's great, White Scar's great, Imperial Fist's great, I love the Crimson Fist. The Iron Hand and Raven Guard, like I said, it just feels really generic.
Okay, but I mean, so
Black Marines, what can you...
As far as I'm concerned, your Johnny Yay limited edition codexes. How do you feel about a $140 price tag?
Isn't that only like $20 or $30 more than it was, and I've already bought one? Wait, who said that? What?
Well, of course you've already purchased one. That's kind of what I'm talking about. Well, okay, we know, obviously, I mean, it's $70 for the Space Marine Codex, the regular one, so it's twice the price for the other one. Now, normally the codexes are twice the price anyways.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not like it's a huge thing, but like $140 for a book is kind of ridiculous. That I think as soon as you break $100 and you start going a little higher than that, you start sitting there going like, you know, $140 can buy me a lot of shit. Like, that's missing rent. That's missing utilities payments. Like, that is a lot of money to pay.
If you live in an apartment, that is 3 months electricity right there.
Exactly. Like, that's a lot of money for people to be dropping. No, but obviously, you don't care.
Yeah, I mean, that is the joy of being a high-paid IT consultant. Because what is the one thing that I always say every single time I describe my job? Oh, right. They pay me more money than I would pay me to do the work that I'm doing for them.
That's right.
Okay. When I am just like, I am taking you guys for a ride. That's fine. No, I mean, again, you know me and my love of fancy, shiny books. I love them. I mean, hell, if you've watched any of my wife's fucking... vlogs, you will notice that in the background she likes to take a lot of my fancy shiny books and put them there to make, you know, give herself extra geek cred, you know.
yep. Bitch only got one army.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the truth.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. No, so I mean, like I said, I like it. The High Elf limited edition book that I did get and Terry's Tau limited edition books are both really nice quality. So it's like I never feel ripped off. But if you look at that price tag and you're like, that is too much money, then there's nothing I can say to convince you. And that's the truth of it. Like,
there is nothing you can say to convince me. Absolutely not.
There's nothing I can say to ever convince you. I know that.
I don't even want to buy the Space Marine Codex for $70.
Buy the electronic edition.
I'm definitely pondering buying the electronic edition. I mean, we're not for the fact that I've literally purchased every Codex Army book that's come out in this last two editions, and I've got them all stacked up nicely, and I'm just like, yeah, but I can't just, like, not have the Space Marine book.
Well, you know, it's almost as if you've been doing it since November of 2011. I don't even know what's significant about that.
There's a certain sadness to your voice when you say something like that. All right, so let's talk about models. Let's go into new models here. Let's talk about the Space Marine Stalker / Hunter. So this is going to be an anti-air style vehicle. The rules leaks are very interesting. They're kind of talking about this idea that, you know, you're going to be able to fire this specialized anti-air weapon that can fire at two flyers at a time, which is obviously going to be really, really useful in the current metagame climate that we're dealing with right now when it comes to flyers.
Because, I mean, no one ever takes one flyer and they're like, this one flyer will do it. Everyone's just like, I take three or I take none. That's what I do.
I take one flyer.
When's the last game of 40K you played?
It was about... I can't remember. Provost Con.
I was gonna say no. You only play fantasy in Provost Con.
No, no, no. I played my orcs against Connor's Vestroians.
Oh yeah, that's right. So it has been 6 months.
Yeah, 6 months since I played fantasy, but I know what I'm talking about. Just fuck up. Okay, but the hunter is a big cannon of some sort. I think, you know what? I love the fact that they've taken the Rhino chassis. They've added bits and bobbles to it. You know, I like the stabilizers that are coming off the side of the thing. I think that looks really cool. And I think for the most part, you know what? This is a good use of the current kit. Mm-hmm. I'm totally happy with it. I think the turrets look great. And obviously, we can assume that you're going to be able to just pull that top off and drop a fucking Rhino thing on top there and play it as a Rhino should you feel like playing as a Rhino. But you know what? Hey, guess what? It's a nice Space Marine vehicle. It looks like a Space Marine vehicle.
I was going to say, I don't know if you're going to be able to do that because it does look like the stabilizers themselves are permanent. Yes.
The stabilizers are permanent because they're part of the door and part of like the chassis.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, looking at the front is quite a bit different.
It is. No, but I mean, like, personally, I have an appreciation for the Space Marine aesthetic in that everything is so utilitarian, okay? You look at the Rhino chassis, and it is a Rhino, a Razorback, a Predator, a Vindicator, now a Hunter, Stalker. You know, I'll say a tank now that no one has ever seen on the board, a Whirlwind. Yeah, that's right. That's kicking it old school. I remember actually playing games against Whirlwinds. That's how old I am, all right? I don't want to date myself here, but...
date yourself. Let's be honest, Nathan. You would date yourself in a second, and you would put out on the first date.
Well, I always put out on the first date, and true. I like a man with a beard. What can I say? You know, but like I said, it's just...
You hear that, Dan?
Yeah. Why do you think I was just like, oh man, bearded Dan is on here? If we were making out, our beards would be like Voltroning.
Well, I could just set the scene. You guys are practicing some jujitsu, you're rolling, one thing leads to another.
I swear, this is my first time.
Tap out. Okay, let's move on.
All right. But anyway, I've always liked the just general utility that Space Marines have where they take the same chassis and they multi-purpose it. So for me, this model is amazing. I love it. I love the fact that they were able to take the Rhino chassis and really make it unique. You've got the big-ass anti-air turret on the top. You got the stabilizers. You've got a different front hatch. So it's probably going to be armor 12 instead of armor 11.
Right.
Because I don't think it's as thick as the Vindicator Predator front.
No.
But it still keeps that very obvious, very Space Marine aesthetic.
Yeah, and again, this is what we're seeing from Games Workshop, which is why build one kit when you can build one kit for two models?
Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about the Centurions. Now,
The Hunter is the better-looking turret.
It is absolutely the better-looking turret, yes. All right, so the Centurions, I'd asked you before, hey, did you take a look at the 360s for the Centurions? And you were like, no, because they're stupid models and I hate them.
Yes, that's true.
What I want you to do is go ahead and go to the 360.
Do you want me doing the close combat one or the shooting one?
The first one you can find. Doesn't matter. Shooting one works.
Okay, John. Well, the first one you find, I think, has double fists and a really shitty mohawk.
Yeah, the shitty mohawk. That's the one that works.
All right.
Okay, so basically, one of the things that I had complained about when we were talking about this model was how, in terms of anatomically, it's kind of ridiculous because, like, his shoulders would be at one point, and then it basically his arms would end at the armpits of, like, this stupid armor and, like,
yes,
so on and so forth. So rotate around to the back and just kind of get a side look. And you see where those pistons are on the back?
And the feet.
You see the Space Marine feet? So apparently, they walk in, like, the back opens up and they walk into them like exosuits, like armored exosuits. And that's how they drive them. And you'll say to yourself, okay, but what about their arms? Well, guess what, Nathan? Their arms don't do anything because when they walk into these, they cross their arms across their chest. So basically, the Centurion is like a gigantic robotic snuggie for the fucking Space Marines.
Well, I mean,
That's what it is. That's what it is. And it's it makes it even worse somehow. Like, even if they were just like, fuck it, their arms are where they are. Shut up, idiot. I would at least respect that. But when they're like, no, we know it's stupid. But that's why they walk into it and they cross their arms. Like, it's as bad as the fucking Wraith Knight, you know, crying and weeping for himself.
And that's what, here's the thing, though. Like, when Grey Knights came out and we got the fucking baby Bjorn, I thought to myself, holy shit, could we get a stupider concept? And right. Games Workshop heard me and they said, you know what, Nathan? We got this. You want a stupider concept? We're going to give it to you. And boom, Centurions Reborn. Because, first of all, yeah, the model hurts. I hate the fact that you can kind of see the legs out of the back. The model hurts. You know, and the other thing is, and I think this is what's actually really bothering me and what's bothering a lot of people is just how static these models are. Because it's almost as if the sculptors themselves could not figure out a single way that this model could move and look natural or realistic. Because when you look at all of the new models, hell shit, let's look at different Space Marines for a second. Like, we're not even going to talk about them. You know, we'll talk about them in depth. But you look at the Stern Guard, you look at the Vanguard veterans, you look at the new Librarian, you look at the Captain, you look at the new Chaplain, and every last one of them is dynamic. Mm-hmm. All the Vanguard veterans are running forward. Their legs are moving. All of the Stern Guard are either braced for shooting or they're leaning forward like they're moving. These are all very, very dynamic models. Then you get to the Centurions and they're flat-footed. They're stupidly just standing there where the most you can do is have a bent elbow. Because, again, even the sculptors could not come up with a single way to animate these models and not make them look like they were fucking idiotically retarded, because I cannot believe that a company which has been producing incredibly dynamic models, because, I mean, let's be honest, this static just standing there and pointing bullshit is what Games Workshop was doing 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
They've gotten so much better with their sculpting. The style has improved, and this is like looking back at, again, what they would ship in 2009.
It's like the old saying, right?
Disappointing.
It's like the old saying, nobody points at the things they mean to shoot at like Space Marines do. Like, I think I remember back way back in the day when a guy basically took every model that was like pointing, that was like available. So like every single one of his sergeants was pointing and like every character was pointing and like all of the power fists were pointing. And he's just like, oh, yeah, no, they pointed everything they want to die. Like, that's their big thing. And it's just like, no, man, like, why? Why did they feel the need to do this? And you understand why, because there's just no reason to what they're doing. And I have to laugh because it's clear that somebody was like, well, we're going to design these power fists like basically big, you know, like gigantic mallets. Like, they're not even going to really be fists, because why? Why the fuck would they actually need fists? But it's one guy was like, no, but they got to be able to point at something. So when you look at the models and you look at their fingers, their pointer finger is separate for no apparent reason.
Yeah, it is a three-fingered hand,
yes,
where you have a thumb because, you know, you need to pick up shit. You know, oh my God, I dropped the keys to the Land Raider. Now what? Exactly. So you've got the opposable thumb. Then you've got the big old club-o three fingers. And then inexplicably, the pointing index finger. And you're right. It doesn't actually make any sense because this asshole's... You hear me? Whoa, I've been
Even more ridiculous when you stop and think. It's not like the guy in the suit is reaching his arm out and pointing. He's got his hands across his chest.
That was actually what I was going to say before I punched my microphone. And I was like, arms are crossed, so it's not.
He has to visualize pointing in his brain to make that thing point.
You know, but I mean, like, it was clearly a feature that they needed. Like, the Tech Marines came out with the Centurion suit, and they're just like, all it has is an opposable thumb and one little thing in case you got to pick something up, but otherwise it's a motherfucking fist. You're just going to club someone to death with it. And he's like, well, how will I point at him? How will he know that it is dance-off time?
That it's coming. It's coming for him.
How will I point to where my home run is going if I don't have my index finger?
All right, so beside the pointing, beside the snuggies, we've seen the pictures of the fucking dread knuckles. You know, they look even worse. Yeah. Like 100 times worse with those big fucking drills, stupid piece of shit knuckles on them. When these models first came out, I was really, you know, indifferent toward them. I was like, listen, I don't hate them. And one of the things that I had said was, you know, if you just take the stupid knuckles off and just like mount the flamers to the bottoms of the big power fists, they actually don't look like terrible models. And I still feel that way. I feel like without all of the fucking big guns and the knuckles and all the bullshit, it's not like they're awful models. Take away the Space Marine helmet, put a fucking Dreadnought head there. I would be totally fine with that. Like these are the next version of Dreadnoughts. But no, instead, they're Space Marine Snuggies. And that's the way that I will always refer to them from now until the end of time.
But I mean, like, I think for me, these models fall apart for a number of reasons. And I'm not even going to talk about the different weapon options and whether they look stupid or not. Like, for me, they're static. And I am so upset about that because, again, this is the bullshit that Games Workshop was producing 5 years ago. And if this model had come out when the Space Marine Codex came out at the beginning of 5th edition, there wouldn't be anyone looking at them and saying, oh my god, that's stupid and it's bullshit and it's blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, because of how static they are, they look out of place. You look at all of the new releases we've had for the last 3 years, every last one of them has been incredibly dynamic. It looks like it's a fucking action movie still that you get to paint up. This asshole's just standing there. But then we have the cardinal sin of, because all we did was take a Space Marine and make him fatter and stupider, we now have all of these big open spaces. So when you look at him, how much unnecessary bullshit is on him? I'm looking at the Imperial Fist close combat one with the stupid drill things, and we have got a shin skull with laurels. We have a hip skull with different laurels. It's wrapping around instead of being laurel wings. We have a skull in a star sword. Basically, you have the Brock Lesnar dildo knife tattoo on the guy's cock. You've got a skull belt buckle. You've got a skull with a purity seal on it. And so it's just like, it's almost as if they're just like, holy shit, there's so much flat, empty nothing going on. We have to just fill it with garbage. And that to me is where it really falls apart. Because again, like you said at the very beginning, when you're just like, isn't it refreshing to see Marines without any bullshit fetish? And then you look at this, and I mean, like, just looking at the model head on, I am counting 2, 4, 6, 8 different skull bullshit icons, and they're like clustered around each other, and they all look
thrill stupid. As Nathan counts skulls live on the podcast.
If I was from Texas, I'd just be like, well, you can see that there's like one, and then three, and then, you know what? Fuck math.
Yo, listen here, you little son of a bitch. All right, so let's talk about the Stern Guard box. This box is really nice. They've given you a lot of stuff. As you said, really dynamic poses. I think the thing that I really, really like more than anything is they gave you a lot of very cool, very interesting variations on the shoulder pads, the helmets, and the heads. These heads have a lot of detail. They look really, really, really nice. You kind of don't mind quite so much that they're not wearing helmets just because of the fact that they've given you such a good-looking model. And, you know, I can even get past the aprons. I'm even a little bit okay with the aprons. They've just done a good job on this box.
Dude, see, you're right. Like, at first you're like, oh, fucking aprons. And then you're just like, oh my god, look at the one guy from, like, Kappa Kappa Phi with the whole toga going on.
The full-on toga, yeah.
The full-on toga. So you got your four friends in skirts, and then he's just like, listen, if you're going to do it, you don't half-ass it, okay? I got my purity seal keeping my toga up. We are good to go. We're going to go get a couple kegs.
He's a unit champ, okay?
We're going to play some beer pong.
That's how you know he's a unit champ. He has slightly more cloth than the other guys do.
Absolutely. No, but I mean, like, aside from that, you're absolutely right. Even though they have that, you know, the models are still fantastic. They're fucking gorgeous. Every chest piece is different. The legs are all different. But I really get the feeling that these are guys that have been on for a long time. And again, you know, you look at them and you're just like, hell, this would be the only unit that I could think of actually building without a single helmeted head. But even when you look at the helmeted heads, like if you scroll through the pictures and get to the Salamander one, where they've all got helmets on, you're just like, holy shit, all those helmets are so good. Fuck the helmetless heads. And I think that that is one of the, like, this has got to be one of the best plastic Space Marine kits that I've ever seen Games Workshop produce. Because, again, you keep going through it, and there are so many options and bits. We've got combi weapons, heavy weapons.
I think the Iron Fist squad looks fucking amazing.
The one right beside the Salamanders?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yes.
Seriously, though, right? Like
Power Fist, the Graviton gun.
Dude, the fucking combi plasma, that is the nicest looking combi plasma I've seen.
Absolutely.
You know, like I think, you know, like you said, just the options that you're given and the sheer weight of stuff. I think that this is one of those boxes that if you're planning on starting Space Marines or you're planning on getting into building an army now or adding to your army, this box set right here is going to have all the bits you're ever going to need for upgrading anything.
Well, yeah, like that's the thing is like, okay, it's $60 for five, but the way I see it is I could realistically and honestly have no problem with you buy this kit because now you have bits for life. Because again, even when you look at the Salamanders one, you've got a heavy flamer, a combi flamer with a fucking bolter. Bolter, which is sick as shit. Storm bolter, like you've got so many different options. It's just like you pick up one box and now you have five veteran sergeants. And you mix and match bits, you steal the fucking weapons for your different squads. And I think those would be outstanding.
Well, they give you some really, really awesome stuff. All right. So before we move on from here, I actually did want to talk to you. How do you feel about the $100 price tag for Centurions?
Honestly, I hate it for the $100 price tag for Centurions because I hate the models. And I am afraid that the rules for Centurions are going to be so good where it's just like, yeah, you'd just be stupid not to drop $100, take three of the retarded fuckers.
According to the rumors, they're not great.
Yeah, I've been reading the rumors, and honestly, I would leave them at home. I don't want to talk about rumors because we're actually going to have the Codex next week.
That's so right.
We can legitimately talk about it then. But like I said, honestly, I think $100 for three models is a little bit silly, especially when you consider the fact that for $20 more, I can get two of the Stern Guard veteran boxes, which gives me more bits than I would ever need. And holy shit, did you notice the combi melta that Johnny Beard with the Ultramarines has?
Yes, I have.
Oh my God, these are all just absolutely fantastic models. And I think that's the thing where it's just like, you know, sure, Centurions, but I mean, if you want a really good-looking dynamic kit, go buy Terminators. Terminators are outstanding, and you can probably buy, I'm not going to say you can buy two boxes for the price of three Centurions, but you can buy, for $20 more, you could have 10 Terminators. And we all know how amazing the plastic Terminator kit is.
Exactly. And I mean, they're going to turn out a lot of firepower, 10 Terminators with two Cyclones. So, I mean, you know.
Or two assault cannons or two.
Exactly.
Fuck, their new weapon options may or may not
be. All right. So let's talk about the Vanguard vets. Hilariously, with the Stern Guard, we're talking about dynamic poses and awesome looking heads. When you get to the Vanguard vets, the poses are a little bit silly and the guy's head looks like it's basically an iron on face. Because it's so fucking bad looking.
Yeah, it's almost like they didn't want to double up, and they're just like, look, I had five good ideas, okay?
Dude looks like he's just angry because he lost his nose, so somebody painted it on for him.
But scroll over to the Raven Guard squad, look at all the helmeted heads, and all is forgiven for me. You know, yes, the poses are a little bit goofy. You're always going to get that with jump infantry because they're trying to give the look of takeoff and or landing and or whatever, hover. So you usually get goofy leg poses. This kit is no exception. However,
outside of the Mark II helmet, I don't see any sort of thing that would make me go, ooh, Vanguard vets.
Really? Because, I mean, like I said, when I'm looking, I'm looking at the Raven Guard pick. I think both the Beaky Helms are great. The one with the
Oh, yeah.
optic, as well as the one with the laurels. You've got the awesome, you know, sort of Mark II with the night breather mask. The other two helmets are just kind of generic Space Marines, which is fine. But for me, what I really like about this is I'm liking the chest pieces. You know, you got the strapped on jump packs. I like the fact that all of your jump packs are unique. They have different emblems on the top, so you can have a little bit of freedom with mixing and matching, doing all that. But then when you look at the weapons options, okay, we've got, for the first time ever, plastic lightning claws, or rather a pair of them. Because the Space Marine Commander came out, and the sculptor that did that was just like, why would anyone want two lightning claws?
Yes.
So you only had that one right-handed lightning claw, and you're like, come on, go fuck yourself, because no one takes one lightning claw. No one was just like, well, I want to shoot my pistol, my bolt pistol. It's going to, you know, mm-hmm. it's going to get a shot off. And then I don't want plus one attack. Why would I want plus one attack? And you're just like, fuck.
Well, yeah.
But you got really beautiful lightning claws. You've got a, you know, the power fist itself is a power fist, which is nice. But you've got marine sized Thunderhammer storm shield. You know, you've got the power axe itself looks pretty decent. So like I said, I look at this and I like it. I don't think it's as nice as the Stern Guard vets. But like I said, I think for the same reasons you would buy the Stern Guard, you know, the Vanguard vet, you can't go wrong with. Because, I mean, even when you look at the Ultramarine one, where you've got that really nice relic blade that the guy with the stupid head has.
It's not nice, though. I don't even think it looks nice.
Really? You know?
No.
Is it because it has Imperialis on it, which we can only assume it has something stupider on the backside?
Calling it a relic blade now and putting letters on it doesn't make it any different from the fucking Emperor's Champion sword that we've been seeing for years.
You know what? That's fair. But I personally think that these are the nicest chain swords I've ever seen. And a chainsaw sword is pretty cool.
You're stretching.
Like I said, I don't mind this kit. The Stern Guard are better.
The Stern Guard are much better.
The Stern Guard are better. I don't think anyone's gonna come in here and say you're wrong. But I don't mind this kit. I don't.
Space Marine Tactical Squad. What, son?
Yeah, new tactical.
You know what? There was one thing that stood out to me in this entire thing for the Space Marine Tact Squad, and I just absolutely had to giggle. Obviously the graviton weapons, you know, we know that we're going to see grav weapons, you know, we have our typical Space Marine poses, you know, not a whole lot has changed. You have your variations of different types of helmets, but they did actually give you a full on suit of older series armor for the Beaky helmet guy. He has his studded shoulder pad. He has his studs on his legs. He doesn't have the rim on his shoulder pads. He is very clearly an older Space Marine.
Nice.
And I just that level of detail where they're just like, you know what? Here's everything you need to make this guy look proper for what he's supposed to look like for that. What is the Beaky was Mark 4?
Beaky was Mark 6.
Mark 6.
Mark 5 is Heresy with the studded shoulder pads.
That's all right. That. Yeah. So Mark 6 Beaky, and he looks like a Mark 6 Beaky. So I think that's super cool. I absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. You know, you have your old standard coming off the back of your sergeant. Your sergeant is obviously pointing at the things that you are supposed to be killing. I mean, that's just a given. But if you don't like pointing at shit,
then you don't play Space Marines.
Well, clearly you don't play Space Marines. But, you know, I love the fact that they went back to giving you the various poses of, like, dude reloading his bolter and guy holding a grenade.
Let's be honest here. This is not a recut Space Marine
tactic. No.
This is a new sprue that they added in.
Yes.
You know, but because Games Workshop likes to cram a lot of shit onto sprues, which I love, you know, there's no want. You have every special weapon open to you, you know. And I do actually like, and this is new. I've never seen Games Workshop do this on their website before, where they literally break it down. You know, because normally they're just like, this 783-piece fine cast model has an exceptional level of detail that requires you to purchase 7 tubs of liquid green stuff to complete. And you're just like, okay, this isn't helping me. But I love the fact that they actually break it down and they're telling me what I get. I get 11 torso fronts, which is why you got the 10 from the old kit and one in the new recut.
Oh, snap.
In the new sprue. Of which 10 are unique designs. You get 10 leg poses, obviously. They're not going to give you the ability to build more Marines. You have 16 different heads. They're, you know, so it's just like you've got a lot. And the fact that they're actually breaking it down, this is new. And the fact that they look at the weapons, they're like, you've got 10 unique bolt guns, grav gun, melta gun, plasma gun, flamer, a missile launcher, including the backpack and spare missiles, which is the... I know that the backpack is going to be on the new sprue because... Way back in the day, they just gave them the normal backpack, and then the dev squad came out and was awesome. Gave it to them. You've got the sergeant that can have power fist, power sword, chain sword, plasma pistol, grav pistol, bolt pistol. You can have a combi weapon on there. And what I like how it says you can make any one of the following. So you basically have the combi bolter base that you attach whatever the fuck you want on top of it, be it grav, melta, plasma, or flamer, which I think is a very interesting thing to do as well. You know, and then they say you've got fucking back banner for the sergeant, three different banner tops. I'm not a huge fan of flash, so I'm not really excited about this part. You know, targeting scuns.
I'm just about to cut you off and just be like, Nathan, our listeners can read.
Fuck off. No, but listen, I do like the fact that instead of just saying like this is a 200 piece plastic kit, be impressed. I love the fact that they break it down. They've never done that before. And that's great, especially for those that are hunting for bits.
All right, so let's talk about the Space Marine Captain. Hey, Space Marine Captain. He's fine. Yeah. I'm not particularly impressed. I think that, you know, he's a nice plastic kit. Front to back, he looks nice. If you like that Centurion-esque looking plumage, go for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, remember back when Space Marine, like, commanders just had nicer armor?
Right.
When did we decide that you also needed to be able to sweep the floor with their helmet?
And he's got a bigger belt buckle.
Oh my god, dude, like the biggest. Like you're just like, oh, do you rodeo with that belt buckle? I mean, you know, I couldn't help but notice it across the bar.
The combi grav bolter is pretty cool. I like that. I think that looks pretty cool.
It's a nice combi weapon. Honestly, I think that the biggest saving grace for this model is the fact that it is a plastic kit.
Yeah.
When you look at it, you could also conceivably cut the combi bolter off with a very minimal amount of work required.
I don't know. I'm looking at the sprue.
I'm looking at the sprue as well, which is why I'm saying it, because you've only got... Oh, that is a one-piece torso. Yeah. Is there a second sprue? No, never mind. I thought that was just a front.
No. This has to go into a blister pack.
Right. No. It is just actually a front piece torso because I'll guarantee that on the other side of the cape is the back piece and all that it slots into.
Yep.
So you've got a thin piece of plastic you've got to work around. You can clean it a bit. However, the way that hand is really kind of fucks you in how it is that you want the model to hold it. So it may be more trouble than it's worth. Honestly, of this, when you look at the variant with the unhelmeted head, it is far and away the better choice because, again, that dumb bullshit plumage thing has to go. It's the worst idea they've
ever... Or you can just cut it off and stick with the helmeted head.
Yeah, or just put on a Stern Guard helmeted head.
Exactly. You have a couple extras.
Every single way. I think... The model is okay. I think my biggest problem is the fact that you are shoestringed.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You're making up all sorts of words right now, and they're not even words that I can say I played bass for.
I was going to say, I don't even know where I'm going with this, but I think I should drink more gin.
You, my friend, are off your rocker. Okay, so...
Anyway, let me get to that. I hate the fact that...
I'm trying.
They force you into having a combi grav and
a... Well, but that's not a big deal.
But it is, because it's probably going to be the single worst option you have for him, and you're never, ever going to want to take a captain with those weapons. And I think that's my problem.
Okay.
This was a beautiful plastic kit with your generic swap arms with whatever the fuck kit you want. Like, give him a pair of lightning claws from your Vanguard veterans.
Okay, but they're not getting rid of the old multi-part plastic make-your-own-captain captain box set, right? Like, Space Marines are spoiled for character choices. So who gives a shit?
I'm not arguing with you. I am critiquing this model. And I find that the reason why this model, I hate this model, is the helmet, which is an easy fix, because you've got those beautiful Stern Guard ones, or you've got bare-headed ones, or whatever. And the fact that it's his weapon options fucking suck. And I think
his weapon option.
His weapon option is terrible. And that is why, even though it's a nice plastic kit, it is $35, and I think, like I said, I look at $35 for him, and then I look at the Space Marine Commander set for $26.75. So I can spend about $10 less and get one that is just as nice and is far more customizable, so that I can actually give him the weapon options I want. I just look at a $35 captain. I'm like, why would I buy him? Mm-hmm. Why would anyone buy him?
Right. Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's get on to the last model here, which is going to be our model of the week, and that is the new Space Marine Librarian.
Not the last model, second last.
Second to last model? What's the last model?
Chaplain.
Oh, right. Yeah, we got to go back to that thing.
All right, let's go to the Chaplain
first. Let's do the Chaplain. All right, so Games Workshop has decided for $110, they're going to give you the Space Marine Recluse CIM Command Squad box set, which gives you a...
I was going to say, were you leaving the pause in thinking I was going to have something clever? Because
no,
I was picking up words. I'm drunk.
I know you're drunk. you're going to make up a word somewhere during this whole description here. But yeah, this is the straight-up Space Marine Command Squad box. It is the straight-up Razorback box. Nothing new that you've seen except for this plastic chaplain, which is pretty damn awesome. I think that he's very cool. I'm pretty okay with the pose. And I think that he definitely looks nice if you're taking chaplains. Hopefully we see a little bit of a tweak to chaplains in this book.
Yeah. You know what I was going to say, like it's the chaplain is funny, because I remember back in third and fourth edition, two books ago, the chaplain was the default.
Yeah, you always took a chaplain.
Fucking everyone took a chaplain. The chaplain was the compulsory HQ. You did not run into a Space Marine army that didn't have a chaplain. Then they hammered his stat line down to basically being a glorified veteran sergeant, and they disappeared. That was why when Blood Angels came out, people weren't just like, oh my god, look at Blood Angels get two versions of chaplains. Everyone was just like, holy shit, Blood Angels get old chaplains, everybody. Mm-hmm. Let's dust off our chaplains and take them again. So we will see if the rules are going to push players towards actually wanting to take chaplains again. Personally, I love this model. I think that it is one of the best chaplain models available to you, which is saying something, because there are a lot of really nice chaplains in the Space Marine range. I think this one's great. I love the fact that he is plastic. I love all of the extra details about it. The backpack is gorgeous. I was going to say, I think the pose is a little silly, because why is he looking up at his own Crozius Arcanum?
Because that shit looks dope.
That's fair. It definitely looks cool. Chaplains have always been the skull fetishists of the Marines. I think of the two options of skull helmet versus bear head. The bear head on this one really falls flat. But again, going to go back to those really nice Stern Guard ones. I don't think anyone would ever,
Just paint a skull on it. Just paint a skull on the helmet if you want to use a Stern
Guard. I was going to say, take a bare-headed Stern Guard. I don't think anyone would ever look at that and just be like, that's bullshit, it's stupid. They are so nice, like those unhelmeted heads. And they all look like grizzled old... motherfuckers. And
they did a really nice job with them, yes.
Yeah, they did a really nice job. So by all means, do head swaps. You're Marines. You're spoiled for choice. I love his purity seals. I love the way everything's sort of going off. That backpack is outstanding because for the first time with a Space Marine model, Games Workshop was able to take a neat concept and understate it to the point of executing correctly.
Yeah, well, even his shoulder pad, right? Matches the aesthetic of the backpack, you know.
Oh, you get
the same feelings of the Crozius. Like, it's a well-conceived model.
Oh, yeah, he is literally the opposite of that lore master of Hoeth. Because it's just like, this model they conceived of, and they fucking executed on every last detail, and it was perfect. And that lore master of Hoeth, they were just like, we have 100 different ideas. And they're like, we'll sculpt them all on. Someone will like one of them.
All right, let's talk about the model of the week, Space Marine Librarian. I would like everyone right now to just go ahead and put their thumb over that cherub and just imagine like it's not there. Okay? Just it's a separate piece in the kit. It's not attached at any particular point that means anything. It's just imagine it's not there. Just put your thumb right over that. And, you know, the reason why I love this model so much is because the Space Marine Librarian that I did up for my Space Marine chapter, my really stupid concept Space Marine chapter, was basically this model, but it was the old original one where basically he just had the staff with the like ram's horns on the skull with like that cool design going down the staff. And then he also had like a power axe. And those were two separate ones. But
I was going to say, I can't help but feel that this model, with that staff, this model's name is Tim.
Yes, exactly. Sure. And I think that also works.
Is it behind?
I refuse to quote Monty Python. I know you'll do it, but I have standards.
I have no standards.
You do not have any standards. But no, I absolutely love the fact that they basically took a previous design for Space Marines and said, you know what? Let's give it a more dynamic pose. Let's give it a very, very cool looking head. And librarians, I have no problem with them not wearing helmets. I think that they're the only models that can generally get away with it.
It's because their mind shields will stop bullets. Right. That's fine.
Cherub is fucking terrible. That's the worst model released.
The Cherub is terrible, and I think what's criminal about it is, could you imagine how much better this model would look if that Cherub was a servo skull?
If the Cherub was anything...
Yeah.
Anything, it would have been better.
If the Cherub isn't there, the model is better. I think
personally... It could have just been like broccoli growing out of his shoulder, and you'd have been like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is some forced broccoli right there.
That's right, man. Like, that's how you get...
to pass a psychic check in order to stave off hunger.
That's... Fuck off. That's... But yes, I don't think that there's a ton to say about this model, except for the fact that it's very understated. Mm-hmm. It's not covered head to toe in baubles. It's the same design as a previous Space Marine, which I absolutely love, with a slightly different head that they did a really, really good job with.
Like the Chaplain, they had a strong idea of what they wanted out of the model. They executed it correctly, except for the Cherub. Because even, like, it's funny, too, because when you look at the sculpt on the Librarian, his pose, his armor, the detailing on his staff, you then get to the Cherub. And it honestly looks like even the sculptor phoned it in, where he's like,
he's got cartoon buck teeth.
I know. He has cartoon buck teeth, which are cybernetic, okay?
Cyber buck teeth. I did play bass for cyber buck teeth. I did.
I was going to say, I don't think we can go an episode without you playing bass for something.
It happens sometimes. It does. I don't force it.
It hasn't happened recently. That's for damn sure.
You probably just don't remember.
Yeah,
it has happened recently.
I was going to say, I did not remember last week's episode at all, okay? I drank so much.
All right, so that's the Space Marine release. More good than bad to say. I mean, that's the basic overview. Obviously, we're going to have the Codex next week. We're going to be starting our part one of our two-part review of the Codex. So stay tuned for that. But hey, Nathan, something shiny.
Something shiny.
Speaking of band names... I went and saw The World's End, the new Simon Pegg, Nick Frost movie.
You know, we were going to go see that on Friday, and then we just ended up drinking bubble tea and alcohol.
That's a terrible combination.
Well, I mean, not mixed together.
But anyways, The World's End, it was funny. I think it's still the lesser of the three movies that they've done, but it's very witty. It's very funny. Yeah, it's entertaining.
I was going to say, Shaun of the Dead is basically the perfect zombie movie, yeah. And Hot Fuzz is the perfect action movie, which is better than Shaun of the Dead in every single way, which is crazy because Shaun of the Dead is a great movie. So, I mean, you knew it was going to be a really tough act to follow. Realistically, I'm kind of looking at it like a Pixar film.
Right.
You know, you really just kind of like all Pixar films into these are all very good, but if we're going to split hairs, we can rank them. You know, so like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. Like I said, we were going to go see it on Friday, a late showing, but like I said, we ended up just getting caught up with friends and shooting the shit, doing all that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So there's a part in the movie that's recurring where basically somebody will say something and the main character, who's kind of the guy who can't let go of the past, Simon Pegg's character, will say like, oh, that's a great name for the band. You should write that down. And they do it multiple times throughout the movie. And every time they do it, I'm like pissing myself laughing.
Now,
because I'm like, it's the same as what I do. It is funny.
Are you accusing Simon Pegg of stealing our jokes?
Well, no. I mean, I'm saying that our jokes are obvious enough that people with actual talent can also make them. That's what I'm trying to get at. But it was very funny. I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was fun. Like I said, if I had to rank it, lesser of the three, but still very, very enjoyable. And it really takes you in a direction that you're not expecting. And by the end of it, you're just like, wow, they're going that far. And then they just keep going. And then they just keep going. And you're like, okay, wow, I guess this is where the movie ends, hey? And then you just kind of walk out of the theater going like, fuck, the movie was ridiculous. But it was really fun. It was very, very entertaining and very similar to the other movies in terms of like all their foreshadowing. Like, mm-hmm. It's all very heavy-handed foreshadowing, and so that's definitely a lot of fun.
Well, I was going to say that's excellent, because I honestly feel like the best part of Hot Fuzz is, like, the fact that for 40 minutes of the movie, Nick Frost is doing nothing but asking Simon Pegg, like, really stupid, terrible, like, idiotic questions. You know, have you ever fired your gun in the air going, ah... And then by the end, you know, and the answer is no to every one of them because they're stupid questions. And then at the end of the film, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
To every single question that he asked throughout. So, I mean, right. I do like the fact that they do things like that. So, like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. I think I think it is probably the movie that I am looking forward to the most that's come up this year.
I also saw Elysium. Which was
I tried to see it in Denver when I was there, but I never could find a movie theater.
I like how your movie going experience always breaks down to we were meaning to go see this movie and didn't.
You know, it's true, but I do not live like 2 minutes from a movie theater like you.
I guess that's also true.
I mean, if you wanted to get, you could go to a movie after this podcast without breaking any drinking and driving laws, and it would still only take you 10 minutes to get there.
That's correct. That is correct. Elysium was a bit of a disappointment. It was a decent enough movie. The action was fun. The story was kind of interesting, except for the fact that, like, I don't understand why, but for some reason, Blomkamp decided that he really, really wanted to try to, like, ham it up. And one of the most ridiculous lines in the entire movie is, like, now I know why the hippo did it. And it, as soon as you understand the context, you're just like, oh my God, fuck this movie. So like the entire last like 15 minutes of the movie is such a kick in the balls that it throws you for such a loop, because like the whole premise of the movie is it sucks living on Earth. Elysium is awesome. And everyone on Earth is sick and the hospitals suck and we can't take care of people. But in Elysium, they have these beds that you lie in that heal all diseases and they can heal broken bones. They can heal literally any sort of damage to your body as long as mm-hmm. your brain is intact. They can fucking heal it. And then at the end of the movie, you find out that they've got like entire ships full of these bays that are just on call and that like every other house on Elysium is empty or up for sale. So there's a bed in it that could just be like sent down to the planet And if you sent like one bed down to the planet per city, you would never have the revolt that you're dealing with to begin with. And it's just, it's a really, really stupid ending where you kind of get to the end, you're just like, oh, fuck, really? Like, that's what's happening? And, like, it's super happy and heartwarming and cheesy and hammy, and you forget the fact that, like, people's faces were blown off by grenades at one point during the movie, and, like, some dude's being dismembered by a chem rail rifle. Yeah. No, the action's really fun, and,
Would you rate the action as better or worse than Man of Steel?
It is worse.
Yeah, those fights with General like Zod I said, were fucking amazing.
Man of Steel, the action scenes were near perfect. I've said it multiple times. I don't want to get into it again. But really, it was like District 9 is a much better movie. It's a much better story, and the characters are better. I mean, Chartel Copley is in this one as well. He plays a totally different character, and he's a bad guy, which is really fun because you do get to kind of see him in like a twisted bad guy role. And he does a very good job. He is a very kind of like twisted, weird, like the guy's clearly demented type job of playing the villain in the movie. And he's quite good. So I'd say it's worth seeing. They're definitely both worth seeing. But for some reason, like every other movie this summer, it's all very kind of middle of the road to okay. And that's about as much as you can hope for.
Fair enough.
That has been Jaded Gamercast for this week.
Hey, my name is No, it's not.
We have a listener question that we need to ask.
I was also going to say we have a fucking stupidity check.
Wait, we do have a stupidity check and a listener question. God, we're going to run so overtime this episode.
Well, you're only saying that because you're looking at the clock like an idiot.
Well, I have to because unlike you, I have to edit and post this at night.
Yeah, I was going to say, all I do is drink gin and...
You drink and go to sleep, and I do all the work. Yes, that is essentially how this podcast functions.
I might order another pizza tonight.
All right, so why don't you go ahead and break down the stupidity check?
All right, so Games Workshop is reintroducing a product that they will probably deny they've ever produced in the past because, you know, they do that. Basically, what we are getting is we are getting... colored primers. I'm not sure if they're primers. I'd have to click on one to look at it. But
colored sprays. I don't think they're calling them primers. I think they're just calling them colored sprays.
Yeah, we've got colored spray paints coming out for the big four of Space Marine chapters. Okay, you've got a McCrag blue for your Ultramarines, Mephiston red for your Blood Angel player, Caliban green for no one. I can't actually think of a single person that plays Dark Angels to play Dark Angel Marines instead of just Deathwing or Raven Guard, so I don't know why they're bothering with that one. And then the Fang Spray. And, it says it's designed for base coating, plastic, resin, and metal. Citadel miniatures. Oh, sprayed over an undercoat. So there you go. You can prime it anyway before you go for it. But we have colored primers. They're going to be available. They're the same price as regular primers, which is fantastic. You know,
Nathan, this sounds amazing. Could you please explain to me why this is a stupidity check?
This is a stupidity check because these colored primers are available to you in every single country except Canada. Why not Canada? Who the fuck knows and who the fuck cares, you Putin-eating fucks? And that is Games Workshop's official line. And that's
pretty much what it comes down to. I mean, I have it on very good authority that the managers in Games Workshop are very, very unhappy with this decision. They haven't been told why we're not getting the colored primers. They haven't been told whatever it is. We have to assume it's something like they don't want to print French labels or some shit.
Hold on. I will tell you that by going to the French. Nope. They are available from Games Workshop France in French. So it's not a French labeling concern.
Maybe, I mean, it could just be like a weird like import-export chemical thing where they're just like, no, those chemicals aren't safe and Canada doesn't like those chemicals.
You know, you're right. You know, it could be that Games Workshop is not able to sell any primer, especially not black or white, in Canada because of our crazy government here. Yeah, honestly, it makes no sense. None that we can figure out anyway. I'm sure that there is some stupid reason why it's not possible to sell them in Canada. But essentially, if you do not live in Canada and you play Space Marines, this product is amazing. Or rather, you play Space Marines that are not Iron Hands or Raven Guard, because Black Primer's got you covered on those, so we're good. You know, so like I said, I like it. I mean, I know Games Workshop canceled it back in the day in one of their paint purges, yes, when they were always just like, well, you know, we don't sell enough of them, so they're gone. But I'm happy to see them come back. I'm hoping that they do kind of expand their range. Like, it's nice that you have a red, a green, and a blue. I don't understand the Fang, like the Space Wolves one, because, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's not a hard color to paint, especially if you...
I just think it's funny that they called it Fang. Why not just call it gray?
Yeah.
You know.
Listen, Space Wolves are baby blue. Yeah. Fucking deal with
space
it.
Space Wolves, like, baby blue. That's right.
That is what it is. But no, listen, it's just a really weird decision. I like the fact that you have colored primer, because even if you're not playing a Space Marines army, you can make use of these products unless you live in Canada. That's why it's a stupidity check. But I'd like to see them expand the range, and I'd like to see them get it up to my fucking country so I don't have to buy them in the States and drive them across the border.
I'm not going to buy them in the States and drive them across the border, but it would be really nice to have. Well,
just go to the States often enough that it's not like I'm just like, and I'll never see this product ever again. Like,
well, if you do drive them across the border, then the Border Patrol is going to think that you're making some sort of aerosol bomb.
Well, or I'm just huffing the aerosol in the most, you know, idiotic way possible.
Huffing aerosol is the most idiotic way possible. I don't think that there's any sort of dispute about that. That is a fact. That is a fact right there. Okay, which brings us to the weekly listener poll question for this week. With the size and the cost of the current or the upcoming Space Marine Codex, do you think that the Space Marine Codex is too big? Do you feel like it should be broken up? Do you feel like we should be seeing more codexes for various Space Marine chapters? The question will be, do you think it's too big, yes or no? I think that this is kind of something that the more we've been going through this show, the more it's been pinging around in my head, is that for $70 and for the amount of pages we're talking about, it feels like it's just so much crammed in that things are getting kind of, not necessarily an unfair shake, but they're just maybe not getting as much attention as they should get. You know, Iron Hands could absolutely have their own codex. You know, you could just go down the list, right? Salamanders could have their own codex.
Well, but, I mean, again, when you have weak-ass Dark Angels and Blood Angels with their own codex,
yes,
realistically, you cannot make any argument against any other Loyalist chapter and just be like, no, they don't deserve their own codex, because...
Right. Nobody's saying the Relictors need their own codex, right? But like...
Except that one Relictor player who is now writing us hate mail.
Oh, well, he plays Relictors. He's full of hate. That's his whole life. But... that is the question. You can vote on that at jadedgamercast.com. That has been Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.